Daniel chapter number, I believe it's 3. If the Lord don't help me, I'll make a mess out of this message this morning. I do need his help. I'm going to try to preach on this. This thing of parenting has been on my mind for some time. And maybe it's not a Sunday morning message, but it's what I think I need to preach. And so I'm going to preach it, try to preach to you this morning. I've titled this, Jeremy, this is your title, The Parenting of a Man After God's Own Heart. Y'all know we're talking about David there. The parenting of a man after God's own heart. If you would pray with me and for me this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, here I stand. And Lord, I pray I'm in your will. I pray I have your message. Father, you know the burden that's on my heart. And Lord, I ask you to help me. I ask, Father, if you would, you'd just touch me and help me to preach with power. Help me to preach, Father, with unction. I ask you to remove all hindrances. I pray, Father, if you would, you'd just do an eternal work and be glorified. And Father, surely you know in my heart that I want you to increase and me to decrease. Help us now. Do what needs doing. I'll praise you for it. If you don't help us, Father, it'd be just a total failure. Help us now. We love you and need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, if we will read, I'll just use this as a jumping off place. I started putting this message together and everything. Just I wanted to preach everything. I'd really just like to start in 1 Samuel and preach through the whole book. There's just so much good truth in here, but it's really not what I think the Lord wants. My burden today is parenting older children. Parenting older children. I don't know. Our kids are growing up. Maybe that's why. I don't know. I think that's what David is dealing with Amnon, with Absalom. I'll get there. Let me just read a little bit and kind of lay a little groundwork. I don't know, sometimes Karen gives me some advice. She says my introduction's longer than my message, and a lot of times that's so, and I understand that, but a lot of times I think if you don't have that, you can't really appreciate what the message is. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 2, "And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon." So the first son he had was Amnon. That's the one who raped his sister. The first son, the eldest. The one who was oldest when David committed his sin. That'll have some implications, I think, for us as we work through. And let me start again, try to read before I start and quit comment. "And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and the second Kileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmah, king of Geshur, well, let me read. And the fourth Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth Ephraim by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. And it came to pass while there, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Now, we could look a little later when David turned to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 13. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shammah, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon, Ibhar also, and Elishua, and Nepheg, and Japheth, and Elishama, and Elida, and Eliphelet. And so what I'm reading that for you is to see that as David was prosperous, he took many wives, several wives, and he had several children. And so let me just kind of bring you up to date where we're at as we work our way through. I want to end up in 2 Samuel 11, 13, and 14 is where I want to talk to you. But I want you to see David's home life. I want you to see what we're looking at. If you were to go back and look, and I'm not going to do it, I'm just going to talk through it real fast. 1 Samuel 13 and 14, David was a man after God's own heart. No doubt about it. He was a man after God's own heart. God blessed him. He loved the Lord. He wanted to do right. David was blessed by God. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 4 and 11, David is made king of Judah for 7 years and 6 months. He's made the king over one tribe. And Ish-bosheth, if I'm remembering right, was over the other 11 tribes. In chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says David waxed stronger and stronger. In chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, David becomes the king over all Israel, and he reigns 33 years. So David is a king for 40 years, 7 years over Judah, and 33 years over all 12 tribes. And chapter 5 and verse number 10 says this, that and David went on, and I like this phrase, and grew great. He grew great. And so we see David is advancing. In chapter 6 and verse 25, David smote the Philistines. In chapter 8 and verse 1, David smote the Philistines again. In verse 2, he smote Moab. In verse 3, he smote Hadadezer. In verse number 5, he slew 22,000 Syrians. In verse number 6, the Syrians became his servant. Notice what verse number 6 says at the end. Chapter 8, verse number 6. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. The Lord preserved David wheresoever he went. Now, look over in verse number 14 of chapter 8. And the Lord preserved David, the last part of the verse, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And so here's what I'm trying to show you, that David has been blessed, is being blessed. He's going to be blessed in the future. He has it all. Looks like everything is going his way. But we see in 2 Samuel, the little text verse I just read to you, chapter 3, he had 6 wives. And then he took more wives and no more concubines. And I just want to be very plain this morning. He was a polygamist. Now that I respect David. He is as much a hero to me as anybody. But it was never for a man to have more than one wife. Moses said, talking about that thing of divorce, from the beginning it was not so. Adam had one wife. Now you say, we could say a lot, but let me get ahead of myself if I'm not careful. He was a polygamist, and can I just say this? David's family turned out not to be a blessing, but an aggravation to his life. It turned out to be a hindrance to his kingdom. Now that's true. You can say whatever you want. You can talk about Solomon and all his wives, but David had his wives. Now David knew better than to have seven wives. Deuteronomy 17 and 17, if we were to go over there and look at that, it's talking about the king. Moses is given the qualification of the king of Israel. And he said this, neither shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away. We use that a lot on Solomon, but David knew that as well. David's a man after God's own heart. He knows what Moses' law says. But yet he didn't obey that law. He had no excuse for his seven wives. And I'm going to say it again. Polygamy's always been wrong. It always will be wrong. Adam had one wife, and that wife was to be for his entire life. That's God's plan. Now, I know good people make mistakes. Good people, some of the best people I know, I'm not throwing off, but I'm telling you young people, I'm telling you to help you. God's plan is one wife for life. Or one husband to you girls, one husband for life. That's God's plan. It doesn't always work out that way, but it's not God's plan any other way. I'll read to you. I've already made mention of it. Maybe I shouldn't. Don't need to, but I want to. Let me look one other place here. This is Matthew 19:8. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. Now listen, church, but from the beginning it was not so. It wasn't meant to be. It's not to be. But here's the thing, it was not unpopular in the Old Testament for a man to have more than one wife. It's a common thing. A lot of great, what we call patriarchs, had more than one wife. And Jacob, he had, who was it? Leah and Rachel, maybe? Here's what I'm saying. The reason it was the popular opinion, It was the fad of the day, or the thought of the day, that a man who had multiple wives and multiple children was super blessed. A large family meant he had multiple blessings from God. An ordinary home would regard David's household as great. My, look how God has blessed him with all those wives and all those children. They looked at his wives and children as stabilizing his kingdom, as making it more steadfast, as bringing splendor or glory or whatever words you want to use to his kingdom. Even today, do we not think bigger is better so many times? Same principle. David was not lined up by the scriptures, but he was approved in the eyes of men, is what I'm trying to get you to see. They did not think bad of that. Polygamy was popular, but still sinful. A lot of things like that today. And I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah, let me not get ahead of myself. David's polygamy weakened his character. You just stop and think about that. His polygamy, unconvinced, weakened him morally. Different woman every few days, dumbing him down to fornication. And I'm going somewhere with it. I guess you're live streaming, Jeremy, but I'm just going to be as plain as I need to be this morning. It'll just have to be what it is. I wonder how different David's life story might have been had he had one wife for his entire life. Only speculation, but I just wonder. But here's what I want you to understand. A man can be a man after God's own heart. A man can be blessed by God and be a poor parent. Let me say that again, too. A man can be a man after God's own heart. A man can be blessed by God and still be a poor parent. Now, how was David? I've got five or six of these. It's been eating me up for some time. How was David a poor parent? Number one, he did not order his home after God's order. I've already said it. He ordered his home after what was popular and acceptable for the society of his day. God said one wife for life. David and the society said, you're blessed if you have multiple wives and a multitude of children. You're blessed. And David went with popular opinion rather than the Word of God. And a lot of God's people are going with what the world says a successful home ought to be. A lot of mom and dads are parenting the way the world dictates instead of the way God dictates. And let me just say this. If you ignore the plain teaching as a parent, if you ignore the plain teaching of the Word of God, if you set your home up contrary to God's Word, you cannot be the godly parent you ought to be. Now, David's problem was multiple wives. With some men, it's being in submission to their wives. The wife is not to be the head of the home. You say, preacher, that doesn't line up with a women's lib. That doesn't line up with whatever else is out there. It may not, but it lines up with the Word of God. That's right. And I understand there are strong-willed women and weak-willed men, and sometimes they get together and marry, and it's a challenge for them, but the wife is not to be the head of the home. The husband is. He's to love his wife like Christ loved the church. And many do not love their wife like Christ loved the church. And they cannot be, because their home's out of order, they cannot be the godly parent they ought to be. No child discipline. Some think it's cruelty to spank a child. And I think it's cruelty if you abuse a child. You know it is. But if you read the Proverbs, it's cruelty not to discipline your children. You're being a cruel, unloving parent. That's the Bible. I don't hang my head saying that. I know that doesn't line up with psychology and all the things that's taught today, but it lines up with the Word of God. Amen. No godly training, God secondary in the home. God ought to be first in the home. Now, I'm not going to, you can just fill in the blank on being out of order in the home. But David's home wasn't right because there were multiple wives. It's going to create problems down the road. And so this resulted in him not only being, it resulted in him being an ungodly spouse. How could he love his wife as Christ loved the church when he's got a multitude of wives? How can you? You can't do it. But in spite of all that, I mean, you think about that and you think, how can God, I understand my things was much different back then. But in spite of all that, David's still trying to do right. He is dull to what society has taught him, what society has placed in his life, what society, the standard or the value they have set up. He is dull to God's teaching, it appears. He wants the ark returned to Jerusalem. He's not satisfied till it's back. He shows kindness to Mephibosheth in chapter 9. He's blessed in battle in chapter 10. I think David some way has been dumbed down by those around him, and he does not really grasp, or if he does, it's dull to him that his home is not set up right. And that may be the case with some of you all. I know it's the case with a lot of God's people. And here's what I'm asking you, is your home right? And if your home's not right, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And I don't know what else to say. David's doing well. His home's doing good. But we come to chapter 11. He commits a great sin with Bathsheba. Such preaching's been preached on David's sin with Bathsheba. I wonder if part of it's not the dumbing down of the polygamy. Maybe it's not that big a deal to David. Just another woman to add to his collection. Another wife to add to his collection. What's the big deal? I wonder if the Word of God or the Holy Spirit ever just gouged him on those multiple wives. But here he is. What happened? Well, we always talk about his idleness. There's a time when kings go out to do battle and David's at home. Of course, idleness. Idleness is a great, when you find yourself idle, you're on dangerous grounds. When he looked, of course his look affected his heart. You boys, be careful what you look at. Amen. Just tell you that, be careful, guard your eyes. Be careful what you let you, it'll affect your heart. No doubt it did, David. Here's what my point is to you. I did some, let me say this before I make my third point. I did some study, and if I'm even close to right, Amnon was probably 10 to 15 years old when David committed his sin with Bathsheba. When Amnon rapes Tamar, he's probably around 20. 18, 20 years old. I could be wrong on that, but I just took the dates and just quickly did a little calculation there. I guess my point is this. I think David was a poor parent because he did not consider his children in his time of temptation. Let me say to you mamas and daddies, if I was tempted to be unfaithful to my spouse, I believe I'd think about the impact it was going to have on my children before I had 30 minutes or an hour or a day of pleasure. I believe I would back up and think about, if you love your children, I believe I'd think about the impact it might have on my children. And that's the sin of fornication or adultery. You take any sin. Take any sin. When the devil comes to you, mom and dad, and tempts you, you ought to think about the impact it's going to have on your children. Now, this is just Sexton theology. I don't think David's sin stayed hid. No way you could hide a sin like that. I think Amnon knew what went on. And mom, dad, let me say this. If you've got older children, when you sin, they know what's going on. You can't hide it from them. You may think you're getting by. You may think you're being sly. You may think you're being coy. They know. They know what's going on. Children, young folk are not foolish. Many times we discredit them, but they're much smarter than you. And you be sure about this, your sins will find you out. And they will know, and it will have an impact on their life. And I'll tell you, if that ought not be a roadblock between you and temptation, or you and lust, or you and whatever, I don't know what else would. If you love your children, you ought to realize your actions impact them. Your conversation impacts them. And it ought to be something that says, hey, I ought not do this for my child's sake. Here's what I think. I think David was a poor parent because he didn't consider the impact his sin would have on his children. Dad, if you're foul-mouthed, don't be surprised if your boy grows up to be foul-mouthed. If you tell dirty jokes, don't be surprised if your boy grows up. Dear mom, if you dress like a harlot, don't be surprised if your daughter grows up and dresses like a harlot. If you're selfish and self-centered, don't be surprised if your children do the same. If you're lazy, if you're apathetic and don't care about the house of God and the things of God, don't be surprised if your children grow up and they care little about the house of God. If you're flirtatious and too friendly with the opposite sex, don't be surprised if your boy or girl grows up and does the same thing. You see, David did not consider his children when he committed that great sin. That was poor parenting on his part. And it's poor parenting on your part if you don't consider your actions when you conduct yourself in an ungodly manner. Can I just say this? Amnon took his daddy's moral failures to a new high. I don't know how else to say that. You say, well, it wasn't. Maybe not. But that's what it appears to me. And can I say, with most parents who dabble in sin, your children will take it farther than you went. David was a poor parent, number one, because he didn't order his home according to the Word of God. He wasn't the spouse he ought to have been. He did not consider the impact his sin or his actions would have on his children's life. And then David was a poor parent because he was undiscerning about what was going on in his child's life. Here's what I really think about David. I think Amnon had his own house. You read in the Word of God, chapter 13, Amnon had his own house. Absalom had his own sheep. He had his own farm, if I could say it that way. Here's what I think. I think they were between that age of adulthood and marrying between teenage, under mom and dad's rule, and between marriage. I think because they had a wealthy dad, they had a house, and maybe Absalom had a little farmland, but the fact of the matter was, they're still kids in a lot of ways. And can I say to you, mom and dad, your child may be 18 or he may even be 19, but you're not through parenting. Your job's not through. Sometimes the most difficult parenting, and some of you older folks can amen me on this, some of the most difficult parenting to be done is before they're married and on their own, but they're yet a legal adult trying to live. Brother Brian, you've got some legal adults in your house. Chad, you have. Some of the rest of you may have, but that may be some of your most difficult parenting years. And here's what's easy to do. I've done my part. I've done my part. I'm through. I almost wonder if that wasn't where David was at. I almost wondered that. My, it was as if. Do you think Amnon, who raped, who said he loved his sister so much it made him, he was sick? Do you not think there were some warning signs he would throw off? You know there was a look or a touch or a comment he might have made. Can I just say this to you, mom and dad, with older children? Watch for signs. To understand what's going on. You know, if I had a boy that wanted to stay home all the time when the family went somewhere, or a girl, I would wonder why. Why? You know what I would think immediately? Internet problems. That's exactly what I would think. Say, well, they're just too cool to be seen with mom and dad. Oh, no. I could list a whole list of them. If I had a child that was wanting to separate from godly people, that'd be a red flag in my life. I'm going to tell you, there's warning signs if you will be aware, mom and dad. If I had a daughter wanting to dress immodest, a warning sign. If I had a child always talking about the opposite sex, it'd be a warning sign. Did you know young people, if they think too long about the opposite sex, they start thinking ungodly? Amen. You can't think too long about that. It leads to ungodly thinking, mom and dad. Don't you realize that?
that's all that's on their mind, you can be sure they've had some ungodly thoughts somewhere.
I know this is plain talk, but it's truth.
Yes, sir.
And you need to know it, Mom and Dad. Don't be ignorant. Watch for the warning signs. And my, while I'm at it, here's another thing that made that. I'm just off my little program here, but just let me, my little outline, just let me preach to you a little bit. Here's another warning sign. Amnon wanted Tamar to cook his meal and feed him. Why? What's that about? Should that have not woke David up? Should he have not said, "What's going on here?" And I tell you, we live in a perverted world, Mom and Dad. When some adult wants to spend a lot of time with your child, you better have a warning sign come up your life. Something's not right. Your little boy could be the prey of some pervert. Here's Amnon wanting Tamar. Why didn't he want some older lady who could cook better? Why couldn't David see that? He was careless with a most precious possession God had entrusted him with. You better watch people wanting to spend time with your children that seems odd. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but that's right. I'm telling you right today. There's everything in the world out there. And they're stalking the innocent to prey on. And Mom and Dad, God has put those children in your life to protect them. And can I tell you some of the most susceptible, that's not the word I'm trying to think of, but some that's most, to give me the word.
Vulnerable
are the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds who think they are grown,
yes,
but are not.
Yes, sir.
Mom and Dad, you have a response. I know they're adults. So was Amnon, most likely. But you have a responsibility to help those young folk until they get on their own. And listen, I understand, I believe in man being head of his household. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying they're between that, don't you see? And they're at risk, and they're really innocent in their mind. And they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. Tamar was vulnerable. And David so carelessly has turned his daughter loose. By the way, he was a poor parent because he was careless. He was careless. He was not perceptive. Undiscerning is the word I used. What was going on in his child's life. We see the same thing with Absalom. When Absalom wants Amnon to go down to the sheep shearers party, should that have not triggered something in David's mind? Does he think Absalom and Amnon are buddies? Mom and Dad, you better be perceptive. I don't think you can smother your children that's in that age range. But I do think this, you better be watchful and perceptive. And you better try to help them. I really think David probably thought, they're 18, 20 years old. I'll give them a house, a little farm, and my work's through. And I'm just going to say, I think most of you older folks agree, if you're a parent, you're a parent till your children's dead and gone, if you outlive them. You better be watchful. Is this making any sense to you at all? My, here is a, he's a poor parent. I don't know, maybe he just didn't have time for his kids. Maybe he's too busy fighting his battles and running the kingdom. But we know from Job's life, you can be rich and have a lot going on, still have time for your children. Then I want to say David was a poor parent because he did not understand the impact evil companionship had on his children. I'm thinking about Jonadab. Jonadab, well, if I didn't look it up this time, I think I know he was a cousin. If he wasn't a cousin, he was kinfolk. I think he was a cousin. I should have looked it up. Apologize for that. Jonadab was a cousin, but encourages Amnon to rape his sister. Now here's what some of you mom and dads think. Family's okay. It wasn't in David's case. Now I understand our family's not going to have maybe the same value system to the T that we have. I understand those things. But the fact of the matter is this. There are some family members just ungodly. And they have impact on your children. And they can do it so subtly that it looks like they're not trying to impact your children. I suspect there's been a lot of ungodly grandparents that led their grandchildren down the wrong road. Not in their mind. Honey, it's okay if you drink a beer. Nothing wrong with drinking, taking a drink. There's nothing wrong with you showing your body off in a bikini bathing suit. Your mom and dad, they're good people, but they just take it too far. You know what they're doing? They're poisoning your children. They're poisoning your children. That's what Jonadab did to David's son. I wonder how the story would have read if Jonadab said, "That's wrong, that's wicked, get that out of you." No way, I will not let you do that, I'm your friend. I wonder how the story would have went. You see, David, and here's the thing. I know sometimes we don't know. And I know sometimes we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. But you cannot tell me somebody's wicked as Jonadab, David didn't know about it. And some of y'all know that your children associate with ungodly relatives who are tearing them down. And you do it anyways because you don't want to say no. And it would be awkward. And you're selling your child out for your convenience. Amen, Preacher Sexton. You're selling your child out for your convenience because you don't want to be awkward. And don't want to be an awkward. And I understand we have to love our family. And I understand it's easy preaching, hard living. And I understand it's walking a tightrope of when to do and when not to do. I understand all that. But do you really want to sell your child out for convenience sake? So you don't have to be in an awkward situation. So you don't have to be uncomfortable and say, no, they can't come, they can't go, they can't do, whatever it is. Church, I want to ask you, am I preaching right today? You know this is right. This is the most dangerous world young people have ever lived in, spiritually speaking. Everything. They've got, every one of these young people have a cell phone. You might as well tie a rope around their neck and hang them from a tree. They'll be lucky to survive that. They'll be lucky to survive that. At the flick of a button, they can watch anything they want to watch. Now, is that right or wrong? Yet we give it to them, knowing what they are, kids, foolishness, bound in the heart of a child. We give them a rattlesnake to play with. You sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. What the Bible says. David's a poor parent because he did not acknowledge the impact evil company would have upon his children. He's a poor parent because I think he discarded his responsibility once the children reached a certain age. I think he's poor because he didn't have poor parent because he didn't have time, didn't seem. I don't see that he had time for his children. And then he wasn't steadfast. Chapter 13, Absalom said, Let us all, king and all the sons, come down. David said, No, we don't need to do that. And the Bible says, let me see if I can find, I believe the word is pressing. Let me see if I can find that word. Yes, chapter 13, verse 27, but Absalom pressed him. Absalom pushed him. He pressed him. Here's what I think. I think David knew it wasn't really the right situation. And he said, no, we don't all need to go down there. But Absalom pressed, and David caved. And it cost. And I understand this was the chastening hand of God. I'm making application. I understand in context, this is God chastening David. David said the man will pay fourfold when Nathan gave the parable, and he lost four children. He lost the baby that was born. He lost Amnon. He lost Absalom. He lost Adonijah. He paid fourfold. He declared his own judgment. And he paid the price. No doubt about that. But I'm just saying, from application, David knew it wasn't wise for all his sons to be there together. But Absalom pressed him, and he caved under pressure. Mom and dads, a lot of you with older children, you cave under, you have caved, or you will cave under pressure. And you allow things to go on that you know really is not the ideal situation. That's right. This is sober. Here's what we're talking about. The life of your children. The life of the children of this church. And keep in mind, David's a godly man, a man after God's own heart. God was blessing him, a man blessed by God. But he's a poor parent. And I challenge anybody to prove it different. And I've already said it, but I want to say it again. David was a poor parent because he wasn't careful to protect Tamar. You better take care. Here's what I would do, and I understand you're dealing with older kids. They've got a little independence, and they want to flex their own muscle a little bit. But if they're living under your house, they need to submit to your authority. If you're feeding and clothing and putting a roof over the head and paying the utility bills and all them things, They need to submit to your authority. Listen to me. Listen to me, Brady and Emily and Grace and whoever else. Whoever else is 18 living at home. As long as mom and dad's paying the bills and paying your way, you have a responsibility to submit to. And when you're on your own, you can be the head of your house. And that's right. That's the way it ought to be. Until then, you be respectful, mom and dad. And mom and dad, you better be careful with your adult children. Did you know sodomites and lesbians can't reproduce? They have to recruit. And they're good at recruiting. Yes, it, that's the way it appears. You better be careful, mom and dad. Did you know there's religious pedophiles?
Sure.
You're not that ignorant, are you? I know I'm online. I'm just going to tell it like it is.
Yes,
the Catholic Church has thousands of them.
Yes, sir.
Now they're showing up in the Baptist churches. I'll tell you, if I had a pretty daughter like Tamar, if I'd been David, I'd have guarded her with my life. When Amnon asked what he asked, I would have known something was up. I'm not talking about living paranoid, but I'm talking about being a realist.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you a couple more and I'll be through. Dave was a poor parent because he was non-confrontational. When did he ever confront Amnon? I can't believe mom and dad can't talk to their children. Can't discuss a problem. It strikes me odd Absalom had to take Tamar into his house instead of David looking out for her. Why is it mom and dad can't talk about problems, confrontational issues? Why couldn't David talk to Tamar? Why couldn't he have sat Absalom down and say, Absalom, I know you have rage and wrath, but killing's not the answer. You never see it. You never see anything said. It's almost like they sweep it under the rug. Can I tell you something, mom and dad? Sometimes you just need a good old sit down and empty the heart out with your older children. You say, preacher, that's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. Maybe. But the other's far more uncomfortable. I don't understand. There's husbands and wives that can't talk about anything that's confrontational. If you can't communicate as a family, dad, and really it falls on you, dad. I got two dads, right? I guess it looks like I'm preaching to you, but I'm not. I'm preaching to everybody here. It falls on you all to communicate, to have communications amongst your children, amongst yourselves. I don't see that with David. No talking about it. No consoling Tamar that I see. I guess he thought, I've raised her and she's on her own. But she needed help. And then lastly, I'll give you this. I know we're not shouting it out, but I hope I'm helping somebody. No consequences to any actions. I know they're grown. But somebody should have been banished Something done to some should have. There should have been some kind of consequences. I guess you just do what you want to do and everything's all. Might make somebody mad, but nobody's going to do anything about anything. Really, it almost appears like they were just spoiled children. That's how it almost appears. And I'm not trying to be mean to David. A great man of God, greater than I'll ever be. No doubt in my mind about that. Greater than probably all of us will ever be. But he had some struggles with his children. And can I tell you, this kind of parenting will destroy a child's life. It'll destroy a child's life. Be careful, Mom and Dad, with your children. And I understand those that 18 to 22 to 23, difficult years. They wanna pretend to be grown up when they're really not. And I'm not being insulting to you young folk who are in that age range. Please don't think that. But what I'm telling you is right. You're not grown. You do not realize the dangers out there. You do not realize. You do not realize who's targeting your life. And hopefully you're insulated enough that they'll never get to you. But that's not a guarantee. Not a guarantee. Mom and Dad, you have a great responsibility. I don't know. I don't know in this society, if God don't help you, it just can't be done. It just can't be done. You're going to have the Lord to help you. We need some mom and dads doing what they know they need to be doing. Be careful. Be watchful. Look for warning signs. They're there. God, if you're serious about it, the Lord will let you, He'll let you see some of those things along the way. Mom and Dad, here's what I'm saying. When your child turns 18, they're not grown. Brady, I'm not insulting you. I know you're 18. You're a legal adult. But there's so much you still have to learn, son. So much. You got a mom and dad that will help you get through a few of those years till you get married, get settled down, be what you ought to be, or get out on your own, whatever your future holds. And there's some mothers of you. Mom and dad, be what you ought to be. Don't just discard them. Don't have time for them. Let me say it that way. Just have some time for them. Watch. Be on guard. Be on guard. And ask God. I know. You don't see David praying for his children like Job did. I guess he did. Maybe, surely he did. I'd like to think he did. But I'll tell you this. You better be praying for your children. This is a wicked, wicked world we're living in. Let's bow our heads. I don't know. I just try to give you what God give me this morning. I just try to give that to you. Mom and Dad, I believe I'd really try. I'd really heed. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I'd heed what was said this morning.